This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
This before many, many times. I'm going to ask it again. What were you doing last night at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock if you weren't watching this football game? If you were watching something else or reading a book, I feel bad for you because there is no show better than the NFL. Scorsese couldn't do this. Spielberg couldn't do this. Quentin Tarantino couldn't put something together this dramatic, this painful, this excruciating, this unpredictable. I'm telling you, I sit there. I did it Sunday. I did it Sunday until Sunday night. I did it all Sunday afternoon saying, what a great show. I mean, I hate Roger Goodell. I hate, you know, a lot of the teams, a lot of the coaches, a lot of the players, but you cannot hate the product. The product is just one of a kind. There's nothing like it in sports. There's nothing like it in Hollywood. There's nothing like it on Broadway. If you missed it last night, you missed one of the most cruel things I think I've ever seen. I was trying to think back to something like this. Tom Brady blew out his ACL in the first game after the magical 2007 season, the undefeated season that ended in defeat. But he came back the next year. Bernard Pollard plowed into his leg and blew out his ACL in the first game in 08. Changed the rule, by the way. You couldn't hit the quarterback at the knees anymore. Dan Marino blew out his Achilles. I remember that. He was never the same. You've seen things like this before, but I'm not sure there was anything this dramatic. Aaron Rodgers making his debut with the New York Jets and just filling the city and the stadium with confidence. This was going to be their year. I was glued. I was locked in. I love watching Aaron Rodgers play. The whole idea of him playing at home in New York on 9/11, running onto the field with American flag. We're watching it right now. Just a spectacular show to start this, to kick off this new era in New York, hosting the Buffalo Bills, the best team in the division, with the dynamic Josh Allen at quarterback. It was all set up to have a great game, a great performance by the quarterback, a big night in New York on 9/11, coaches wearing their FDNY hats. It couldn't have been better. Well, about, I don't know, 10 minutes later, four plays into Aaron Rodgers' Jets career, he goes down. It didn't look good. They were saying ankle, but it didn't look like he really wrenched his ankle. It didn't look like he wrenched his knee. I'm thinking initially you're thinking ACL because those are so common these days. He gets taken off the field, carted off, and they declare him out for the game. They bring in his backup, Zach Wilson, one of the great disasters in Jets history, drafting him with their number one pick a couple of years ago. He was dreadful last season. He just looks overwhelmed, overmatched. It looks like a really bad pick, but he's their guy now because Aaron Rodgers, according to reports, has blown out his Achilles. That means he's out for the year. The 39-year-old Rodgers will not be back in a Jets uniform until he's 40, and we'll go through this all again next year because the Jets are a good team with a really good defense and some good skill players. If Rodgers had remained healthy and we get to see these guys on Monday Night Football with the Manning cast and the whole world watching, I think today people would be talking about the Jets as legitimate Super Bowl contenders. Well, that's not the case anymore. They went from 18-1 to win the Super Bowl to 35-1 after Rodgers went down. I'm not sure too many players are as important to their team as Aaron Rodgers for a number of reasons. One being his backup stinks. His backup went on to, for the most part, stink in this game, Zach Wilson, but he played good enough for the Jets to pull this out. He made a couple of, I'm going to say two or three good throws in the game. One wasn't a great throw, but it was a great catch by Garrett Wilson, one of the greatest catches you will ever see. For a touchdown. I'm not sure Zach Wilson put the ball where it had to be, but it was good enough. He went 14 for 21, one touchdown, one interception. But it's just a tease. I mean, they beat the Bills in overtime with a punt return for a touchdown. If you were fast asleep or you were watching something else, it was just one of the most dramatic endings to just a dramatic night, a day in New York. Everybody was glued to this thing by the end of the day. If you were, you know, getting your updates on social media, you had to check it out. And it ended with the punt return from a touchdown from an undrafted nobody. But the story was Rodgers. The story remains Rodgers. Jets fans are just suffering. Real Jets fans like Montante, who is we'll talk to Montante this week and get his reaction. But I'm sure he knows it's over. Fake Jet fans like Mike Greenberg, who pretends that he lives and dies with his team, which nobody does that in the business. No ESPN anchor or journalist really has you know, that kind of passion for a team. It's just you can't if you're doing your job correctly. But he pretends, and he came on this morning. I watched it, and he told him, "Stop the music, stop this. I can't do this. I can't pretend." And he was suffering, and they were all consoling him, and they're going through the motions. It's all for show. But it was such an incredibly emotional up and down night. It's over for the Jets, even though they got all these studs, they got all these new additions, and they got Breece Hall back, and they got Sauce Gardner, and they got Dalvin Cook. It's just a tease. You guys got no shot because Zach Wilson stinks. I watched him in college, and he was great. And I was thinking, looking at the Patriots, saying if he could drop to whatever they were picking, 9 or 10, he'd be a good choice. He went number 2, I believe. Is that correct? He went number 2 in the draft? I think he did. And he looked good. He still looks good physically, but he doesn't have the brains. He doesn't have the wherewithal. As Troy Aikman pointed out many, many times, as Peyton Manning's pointed out, he doesn't grasp the offense. He doesn't do what the great quarterbacks do, anticipate and lead guys. And he makes bad decisions. He's going to be overwhelmed. It's not going to work out for you guys. You might ride your defense and your skill guys to wins like last night. You might win, I don't know, 7 or 8, but you ain't going to the Super Bowl, which was a real possibility with Aaron Rodgers, who is probably going to, he's getting an MRI today. He'll get surgery soon. We won't see him again, except on the sideline for a year, which is too bad. He's one of the most entertaining guys to watch. Him in a new uniform was going to be a blast to watch. It ain't happening. I just went over all the possibilities for the Jets. Of course, immediately people are tweeting about Tom Brady. He looks like he's in game shape. He could come back. That's not happening. Brady has moved on finally. And the choices, the list of potential replacements, if they determine that Zach Wilson can't do it, and he can't, is just awful. Joe Flacco, he's an ESPN guy, Bill Barnwell, with the whole analysis this morning. Joe Flacco, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan, who retired but hasn't filed his retirement papers yet and went to work for, who did he go to work for, CBS? CBS now. So Colt McCoy, Chase Daniel, Mike Glennon, there's nothing. There's nothing, which as a kid, I hated the Jets, and at times I've hated the Jets, but they provide entertainment. They're a pretty colorful team, and they're in the division, and I enjoy the matchups. I enjoyed the Rex Ryan era. They finally had their quarterback, and he lasted four plays. This is why you watch football. This is why you watch sports. This doesn't happen in real life. You don't have this kind of drama. Football is really dangerous. It is really physical. And this could happen at any play, at any level, high school, college. And you don't appreciate it, but it is one of the reasons it's such a great game. There's a gladiator element to it that you might see a guy die on the next play. You don't want to admit it. That's deep, dark secret, but you might see something like this on any play, and your heart breaks for Rodgers and for real Jets fans and for New York. But this is part of the appeal. You never know. You never know when someone can go down, tear his Achilles, and just be gone for the year. Think of how we've spent the last 6 months or whatever it's been, 3 or 4 months since they made the trade with the Packers. This has been the biggest story. Hard Knocks helped, but and New York helps, but it's been the biggest story in the NFL. And it lasted, what would that be, 3 minutes? And it was over. Just cruel. Of course, it wouldn't be a quarterback story without the usual suspects. In this case, Jamel Hill chiming in saying there's a quarterback ready to go, ready to replace him. He lives in New Jersey. His name rhymes. What does she write here? Names rhymes with Happernick. That's cute. She's so creative. His name rhymes with Happernick. I mean, what does that even mean? That's like something a sixth grader would write in a school paper. God, she's a terrible writer. She writes, there's a QB right here in New Jersey, ready to go. He went to the Super Bowl. Yeah, he's been out of the game for 7 years. And before that, he sucked for 2 years before that. The Super Bowl was what, 9 years ago? 10 years ago? Oh, they just won't let it go. I'd be all for it. As I've said many times, I'd love to see Kaepernick come back and fail miserably again. He will if he ever did come back, if he ever got a chance. And he doesn't really want a chance. It's more profitable, more lucrative, and certainly safer to sit on the sidelines and live the life of a martyr with fools like Jamel Hill propping you up. But that would be spectacular.
Having to watch Montante root for him would be the best part.
Yeah. That would be good. Yeah. I mean, I feel bad for him. I mean, there's a lot of obnoxious Jets fans. Fireman Ed, the guy last night that they put the camera on the guy in the audience, in the crowd, and he just flipped the finger to the camera and everyone was tweeting out the picture. I mean, this hurts. This is brutal. This is painful. All those Rodgers jerseys in the crowd. Maybe he'll never play for the Jets again. He'll be 40. He's a weirdo. He might just walk off into the sunset and do his mushrooms and hallucinogenics. Maybe he'll be on with Matt McAfee tomorrow and talk about how he's determined to come back as soon as possible. But there's no chance of him coming back and playing this year. You know, we should get to this story. My favorite, the funniest story of 9/11. DraftKings, Boston-based DraftKings, offered a parlay, a 9/11 parlay. You could bet on the Jets, Giants, and Yankees. Make it a three-team parlay. And how'd it go? The Jets lost. The Jets won. Giants got crushed. I have no idea how the Yankees did.
The Yankees and Red Sox got postponed, and the Mets lost 4-3.
But the Mets aren't involved in that. It was a three-team, wasn't it? Teams, or the Mets also? Oh, there it is. I'm sorry. The Mets are also involved. So, okay. So they didn't include the Giants. Why would that be?
I don't know.
It's the Mets, Yankees, and Jets. You get to bet the three of them special.
Oh, it's because they're all playing that night. That's why.
And it says, never forget. Oh, that's right. The Giants didn't play on 9/11. Good point. Bet these New York teams to win tonight on 9/11. Never forget. And they got absolutely excoriated, and they pulled it down, and they issued an apology, and the 9/11 families denounced this as well they should. It's hard to believe someone was sitting in an office here in Boston and said, here's an idea for 9/11. I mean, the tone deafness on the part of people about 9/11 after 22 years is astounding. I mean, we're going to get to the president and we're going to get to the Iran deal, which happened on 9/11. But other people like Kamala Harris went to Ground Zero and the cameras were on her and she was laughing. It's just remarkable how people don't appreciate the gravity, the sacred nature of this day. Of what happened on this day, how the world changed on this day. And you have this, our buffoon, our lost soul of a president who didn't even deign to show up on the anniversary, the 22nd anniversary, didn't show up at Ground Zero, Shanksville, DC, the Pentagon, nothing. Didn't think it was worth his time. This is mind-boggling, even by Joe Biden's standards. And we talked about it yesterday. He couldn't make it to New York or to DC, where I think he lives, because he was in Vietnam babbling incoherently about global warming. in Vietnam. And then he couldn't make it all the way back to DC for some reason. I'm not sure what. I mean, there's a bed on the plane. He could have slept the whole way. He probably slept all the way to Alaska. We'll get to this because it's just, I'm going to tell you a little inside thing. Yesterday, as we're preparing for our 9/11 show, I was Googling, trying to find out where Biden was on 9/11. You know why? Because I knew he would do this. Now, I didn't tweet about it. I didn't say anything yesterday. We had so much to get to. We didn't get to it. But I knew there was a good chance he would do this. He would say he was in New York. He was there. Obviously, he was in D.C. He was in the Senate on 9/12. Today, 22 years ago, he was making a speech on the Senate floor about 9/11 or about the attacks or whatever. Didn't go to New York for another week. But he makes this appearance, which was just the whole idea of him stopping in Alaska and speaking to a small crowd of service members on 9/11. Again, this guy sucks at the job in every capacity, every way, but he really sucks at the easy parts, at the 2-foot putts, at the layups. He can't do the layups. He just can't. He can't do a ceremony honoring a Medal of Honor winner a week ago. Can't do that. He can't console Gold Star families. He can't go to East Palestine and just show up and shake some hands, talk to the mayor and go home. He can't do, he can't go to Maui and just make it about the victims. He has to make it about him and his cat. He can't do the easiest parts of the job. Never seen anything like it. I know he's dumb. We know he's senile. We know he's corrupt. You should still be able to do this. You should still be able to go to ground zero. You should do what so many politicians did. The whole crowd was politicians. All of them stayed in their little section, except for Ron DeSantis, who, by the way, didn't take part in the official ceremony with the politicians. He was with families touring the place and talking to them. It was a great day for DeSantis. I was really impressed with the way he handled it, but, and there were others obviously in DC. We talked about it yesterday. Austin and Milley made speeches at the Pentagon. They did fine. They did fine. They did their job. This guy didn't. He did not do his job yesterday. Stopping in Alaska and lying about 9/11, which is what he does. I knew he would do it. I should have predicted it, but I knew he would go to Anchorage and lie. And that's what he did. It's amazing. There is nothing, nothing he won't lie about. Nothing he won't exaggerate. Nothing he won't try to force himself into. It has to be about him, his tragedies, his loss, his life. I mean, most of it's made up. Hell, he introduced the governor, Mike Dunleavy, who doesn't like Biden, by the way. I heard an interview. He didn't want Biden there. They went to the same high school, I guess. I mean, who knows? Maybe they didn't. And he started talking about he wished they played ball together because then he would have been an All-American. That's how he opened his speech, his appearance on 9/11, talking about if he had better teammates. I don't even know what sport he was talking about, basketball, football. He would have been an All-American if he had Mike Dunleavy. Okay. That's not the bad. That's not the real embarrassing part. This is, he talks about 9/11 and he flat out lies. And once again, there's no gray area here. There's nothing nebulous about this. He says he was at ground zero the next day. That would be 9/12/01. He was not at ground zero the next day. Now, the media, whose full-time job is covering for this liar, didn't know what to do with this. The New York Times, they found a way. I'll get to it, but let's listen to Biden, and then I'll show you how the New York Times, that just the biggest shameless lying lickspittles of them all, how they handled it. But let's listen to our commander-in-chief on 9/11 flat out lie to the world. Go ahead.
To renew our sacred vow, never forget, never forget, we never forget each of us, each of those precious lives stolen too soon when evil attacked. Ground Zero in New York, and I remember standing there the next day and looking at the building. I felt like I was looking through the gates of hell. It looked so devastating because the way you could, the way from where you could stand.
So he doesn't just lie. He dramatizes it. I looked into the gates of hell. No, he did not. He wasn't there. I mean, maybe you think the Senate floor is the gates of hell, but he was in D.C. on the Senate floor. He was not there. He has to always make it about himself. And I guess we got our answer as to why they did this. I mean, I asked it yesterday. I'll ask it again. Why would you do this? If you're his handlers, if you're his visiting angels, why wouldn't you keep flying? So you refuel, you keep flying, and you get to D.C. and you shake some hands and you treat this occasion with dignity like you are supposed to. Well, the answer is they knew he would do this. If you're Karine Jean-Pierre or you're whoever's behind the scenes or Valerie Jarrett or Barack Obama, you know this buffoon was going, you know he's going to lie. You know he's going to embarrass himself. You know he's going to embarrass the country. You saw what he did in Vietnam. It was the low point of 2.5 years of low points. There was nothing more embarrassing than his performance on Sunday. I told you yesterday, if you haven't seen it, watch the whole thing. It's only 20, 25 minutes. It is staggering. He's confused. He's lost. He's lying. He's mumbling. He's wandering around. He's babbling on about dog-faced pony soldiers and good morning Vietnam. Here was how the New York Times covered that flat-out, bold-faced lie. They write this morning, Mr. Biden recalled how he stood at Ground Zero after the attacks, looking at the wreckage that resembled gates of hell. But he said he was struck by the courage he witnessed in the days and years after. So the paper of record, the New York Times, which used to be a newspaper, which some people think is a credible source, doesn't mention, they cover it up, that the president said he was there on 9/12. He was there the next day. And their reporters, who are with the president, by the way, leave that out conveniently. Leave that out. And by the way, they've got a new tactic to cover for Biden's corruption. As we know today, they're going to start the impeachment inquiry. It's about freaking time. Obviously, there's reason. There's plenty of evidence. They don't call it. They don't say there's no evidence anymore. They changed the narrative, the messaging. It's gone out. It's gone out to Congresspeople, Dan Goldman. It's gone out to the New York Times. They've changed it from there's no evidence to there's no hard evidence or no direct evidence. You watch all day today. Democrats will say there's no hard evidence, no direct evidence. That's the word they've gotten from the White House. And as usual, the throne-sniffing state media will go with it. No hard evidence. Oh, there's evidence, but it's not hard. Oh, this was just such an embarrassing day for our country. Not our entire country, but certainly for our president. When he blew off the ceremonies in New York and D.C., he was asked, the White House was asked, why? Why would you do this? It's mind-boggling why you would do this. Peter Doocy asked the White House, and you're not going to believe their response. It's typical. It's incoherent, and it's flat-out wrong. But Doocy asked the White House. He got an answer. They didn't go on camera with him, but we'll let him explain. Let's listen to Doocy.
Well, our focus the last couple of days has been on President Biden here in South Asia. And when I asked the White House official why it is that President Biden was here and missing the 9/11 commemorations at the attack sites, the analogy that I was given is that 22 years after Pearl Harbor, U.S. presidents were not still going to visit Hawaii.
Okay, let's analyze. New York and D.C. are a little different than Pearl Harbor. They're New York and D.C. One of them is where he lives. One's where the White House is. The White House, which was a potential target of the terrorists on United 93. The heroes of 9/11, as we talked about yesterday, Todd Beamer, Jeremy Glick, Tom Burnett, and Mark Bingham, the four heroes who stormed the cockpit. Oh, I forgot Bo Biden was there too. So the five heroes who stormed the cockpit and took down the terrorists and crashed the plane into Shanksville, Pennsylvania, saved either the White House or the Capitol. We're not sure which, but that's where it was heading. Joe Biden was in the Capitol. They might have saved his life. And he doesn't think it's worth mentioning those guys on 9/11. Not mentioning all the heroes. Not showing up with their families. Hell, you show up because this was the heart. This is our the heart of the nation, the D.C. and New York. That's why they attacked there. The attack on Pearl Harbor was horrendous, but it's a military installation. It's not like a symbol of the country, which is what the World Trade Center, the Capitol, the Pentagon were. And the idea that he might have been saved by these guys and didn't think they're worth mentioning is unbelievable. Secondly, guess who was at Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1963? That would be 22 years after the attack. Care to guess, Ironhead? As Joe Biden would say, guess what? Guess what?
Watch me.
Watch me. Who do you think was visiting Pearl Harbor on December? Oh, I'm sorry, not December 7th, 1963. No. Was that the year before? It couldn't have been December 7th, 1963. That's wrong. I'm wrong. Let me check, double check on that. It might have been the 20th anniversary, the president visited. But so what? I mean, that's your excuse that they didn't go, the presidents don't go to Pearl Harbor every year? It's Pearl Harbor. It's Hawaii. It's not D.C.
Reagan,
it's not New York.
Reagan went to Normandy. We played it not that long ago.
That's true. And that was spectacular. I mean, and beside the point, wouldn't you want to be there? Wouldn't you want to be there if you're Joe Biden? Again, they like you. I mean, most of the country hates you, but when you show up at these things, you don't get booed and heckled. You know, it's you get cheered. They appreciate it. You belong there. Instead, he was sleeping in Anchorage and returning, I guess, today. You know, he can go back to ground zero, the 22nd anniversary of when he looked into the gates of hell. Just incredible. And if you didn't think that was bad enough, we just freed up $6 billion for the biggest state sponsor of terrorism in the world. We did that on 9/11. We'll get to that. It's just an incredible story. We're talking about tone deafness of the messaging. It doesn't get any worse than this. Given a big fat check, or should I say, big fat pile of cash to Iran on 9/11. Oh, just amazing. We got a liberal, an MSNBC guy, a podcaster saying he wants to see Trump die in prison. That's the new, I want to defend the guy, but I'll explain to you how I will get to that. I want to defend him. Yes, I will defend him. And we'll talk a little bit more about Aaron Rodgers. See what the latest is. I think he's heading for an MRI right now. It's not going to be good. It's a torn Achilles. Everybody knows it. And everybody is either genuinely broken up about this, genuinely bummed, or they're pretending to be. It's kind of a thing in the media, but we'll get to that and more. But first,
excuse me.
Imagine this. It's the dead of the night. You're lying in bed. Suddenly you hear something go bump. What's your next move? Well, you reach for the ultimate solution, the new MC14T tip-up pistol from EAA Corp and Gersan. This game-changing firearm is perfect for those with limited hand strength, disabilities, or anyone seeking a comfortable and user-friendly alternative. Picture this. The MC14T features an ingenious tip-up barrel design, making loading and unloading a breeze. Say goodbye to struggles while racking a slide. Just load the tip-up barrel, lock it back down, and you're ready to fire. The MC14T is chambered in 380 ACP, boasting a 13 plus 1 round capacity, With its reliable stopping power and compact size, it's an excellent choice for personal defense, complete with accessory rail and ambidextrous safeties. Experience a new level of convenience. Available with all EAA Corp distributors, starting at an incredibly affordable MSRP of just $498. Don't miss out on this game-changing firearm. Visit EAAcorp.com today. That's EAACORP.com. I know the White House, I know they're incompetent. I know Karine Jean-Pierre is a dummy. I know Kamala Harris is a dummy. And I know, but don't they have any like adults in the room? I mean, they got a whatever billions in their budget, billions. Why would you do this? I mean, why? I understand that whatever. I mean, they here it is from the New York Post. The Biden administration notified Congress on Monday, that would be 9/11, that it had agreed to unfreeze $6 billion in Iranian assets in exchange for the release of five American citizens held for years by the theocratic Tehran government. The deal also calls for the freeing of five unidentified Iranians held by the U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, a total embarrassment to this country, signed off Friday on a waiver permitting banks in Europe, Asia, and Middle East to transfer the funds to accounts at Qatar's central bank, where they were meant to be used for humanitarian reasons. Yeah, sure, that's exactly what they're going to do. All right, here's the talking point from MSNBC and CNN, New York Times. It's their money. It's not our money. It's their money that they're now free to use to sponsor terrorism. This, by the way, a country, the leader of Al-Qaeda is in Iran. Iran supported 9/11. And on 9/11, they supported the efforts on 9/11. On 9/11, 22 years later, we hand them $6 billion. I'm sorry, I'm no bureaucrat, government bureaucrat, but wouldn't someone in the room raise a hand and say, could we wait a day? Can we wait to 9/13, maybe 9/15, or wait a month? What was the compelling reason to do this on 9/11, other than the fact that these people don't give a damn about 9/11? What other conclusion can you come to when the president is in Alaska, when they announce $6 billion and hostage exchange on 9/11, when the borders wide open and people on the terror watch list are walking into the country? It really is remarkable. They talk about how the country changed on 9/11/01, and it did in some ways. Did it change for the better? I mean, we literally have thousands of people crossing the border, unvetted, forget unvaccinated, unvetted, could be the next Muhammad Atta crossing the border. Who knows? Then we give Iran $6 billion and they are free to blow up some more Americans, which is what they did for years in Iraq. This is just shameless. And I genuinely don't understand it. Usually, you know, it's ideology and I understand what the problems are. And this one, I don't get. I don't get the timing. I don't get why you would want to do this. I never quite understood why Kerry and Obama wanted to give Iran all that money in last in the Obama administration. Why do we want to do it again? Why do we want to support these people? They hate us. They chant death to America. They hate us and would like to see us blown off the map, and yet we're funding them. Just truly amazing, truly bizarre. But speaking of truly bizarre, we're going to get to this guy because I'm going to defend him. We'll get back to Aaron Rodgers and the latest on him and in the NFL, because it is fascinating. It is a wild story. But there is a liberal, I can't say I've ever really listened to him, but he's a pretty prominent liberal. He's got a lot of followers on social media. He's on MSNBC. His name is Dean Obadala. Dean Obadala. He's got a host. He's got a show on XM, Sirius XM Radio, and called the Dean Obadala Show. And he was doing a podcast on Friday. This is a couple days ago. And he was talking about Trump. And as usual, he's an MSNBC guy, so he hates Trump. And Trump's evil. And Trump's, you know, Trump must be stopped, which is how you have to view the world if you're on MSNBC or if you're on if you're a crazy liberal podcaster. And he says, and he got a lot of heat from this, from the right. We got a lot of heat on social media. I'm sure there's pressure on SiriusXM to admonish him for this or suspend him, but I'm going to defend him. Let's listen to what he thinks should happen to Donald Trump. Go ahead.
But I was on MS and I said that Donald Trump must die in jail. And it came out weird because it sounded like I was hoping he gets stabbed in the shower. And that's not what I meant. I meant like die of natural causes to be a deterrent to anyone else. And I don't care if you're a Democrat or if you're a Republican, whoever attempts a coup in our nation again, that your fate must be death in a prison cell, that you live out your days
I don't
there.
Think you said the words must die in jail, because otherwise I would. And this is going to be number one on the front page tomorrow. MSNBC's.
No, I think Donald Trump must die in prison because I don't care if he was 45 years old. You should get life in prison if you attempt a coup. And there should be no chance of parole. I don't care who it is. That's why I think Donald Trump or anyone else who attempts a coup must die in jail, because either we're going to protect the Democratic Republic or we're going to allow people, in this case, Trump, to chip away at our democracy and chip away at what we believe in these institutions. That's why I'm so passionate about, like with every fiber in my being, that Donald Trump has to live out his natural days, his last days of natural life in a prison cell. It's important to say to everyone, you can't do this. That's why it so outrages me when Ron DeSantis was on Newsmax a few days ago going, oh, we're going to look at pardons for the Proud Boys. Like Trump has said, this is outrageous. These people plotted an attack. The prosecutions laid out the case. They began plotting right after the election when Trump said the election was stolen. They brought their people there. They had 200 people
there. His co-host tries to correct him and say, oh, I don't think you said that. He says exactly what he said. And he said it again. Trump should die in prison. So he's getting a lot of heat for this. But here's where I'll defend him, is every Democrat in the country thinks that. Why should this guy be singled out? Why is what he said wrong? If you're indicting a guy for 91 felonies, and he's 77 years old, and you got four different jurisdictions, and they're all looking for prison time, considerable prison time. They all want him to die in prison. Every Democrat in Congress, every Democrat in the country wants him to die in prison. And I mean, they're all lying, just like this guy's lying about a coup, which we all know he didn't attempt a coup. We've gone over that. The Senate acquitted him of that. After the rigged January 6th hearings, you don't attempt a coup when you say go patriotically and peacefully protest. You know, you don't send a bunch of unarmed knuckleheads, you know, to climb the walls and go to the Capitol if you're really attempting a coup. It's absurd. But that's what every Democrat in the country thinks. If you're trying to put him in prison for years and he's 77, you want him to die in prison. I think the only thing I'd correct is, they would prefer him to be shanked in the shower. You know, they want it to be more dramatic than have him just grow old and die of natural causes, but they want him to die in prison. Yes. You know what? Joe Biden, if he's convicted of taking bribes, I mean, he's committed crimes. He's 80 going on 102. If someone said he should die in prison, that means he should go to prison. That's all. If you say he should go to prison and you're 80, you're probably going to die in prison. By the way, speaking of coups and insurrections, I mean, on a daily basis, we hear about the two-tier justice system. It was never more pronounced than last week when Enrique Tarrio got 22 years for encouraging his guys to go into the Capitol, which is exactly what Kamala Harris and Ayanna Pressley did with BLM and Antifa, encouraged them to burn and loot and commit crimes. Kamala Harris goes to the White House. Ayanna Pressley gets reelected. Enrique Tarrio goes to prison for 22 years, and he wasn't even in D.C. John Biggs got 17 years for pulling down a fence. No BLM or Antifa guy got anywhere near that for anything, ever. Hell, we've gone over it. Guy who burned someone alive in Minneapolis got 10 years. The guy who burned the police station to the ground got 4 years. Every day, we're seeing other examples of how justice is dead in this country. And yesterday was another example. The This is from The Guardian. Several people were arrested after entering the office of Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker of the House, during a protest for HIV and AIDS funding. The U.S. President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, a widely bipartisan program, has been reauthorized three times, and Biden earlier indicated he would authorize it, but the program's latest extension has been caught up in a partisan fight over abortion. Okay, fine, a partisan fight. These protesters stormed the office of the Speaker of the House and occupied it, and none of them will do a day in jail. I thought this was an interaction. I thought this was a coup. I thought this was an attempt to undermine our democracy. What happened to all those calls for people who undermine our democracy to go to prison for decades? It's one thing if the, you know, the guy on the conservative guy got more time for doing the same thing. They get no time. I mean, these people will get no time. And that's the maddening thing. If we were a country that took this really seriously and didn't mess around and put people who occupied Senate or congressional offices, if we took it seriously and we put them in prison, then fine, put them in prison. But you can't put one guy's, you know, one side in prison for decades and give the others a parking ticket. They arrested seven demonstrators. I'll be curious. I'm sure they were freed because we don't do bail anymore if you're at least if you're a protester. But the thing that amazes me is they're not even thinking that maybe they'll have to pay a price for this. You know, that's the difference. Right now, if you're an anti-abortion protester, or you're a parent at a school board meeting, or if you're a Proud Boy, you can't step wrong without wondering, are they going to put me in the DC gulag? If you're a protester who wants more AIDS funding, you don't care about even storming the Capitol and walking and occupying the Speaker of the House's office. You know there'll be no price to pay. You know that's how it works now. That's not even a concern of yours if you protest. All right, we were gonna let me get to Shay, and then we're gonna get to. What is this? We got Trump on at 9/11. That's a good point. That's a good one. Maybe we'll get to Trump at 9/11. I mean, 9/11/01, when Joe Biden was in D.C. claiming to be in New York. You know who was in New York? Donald Trump. And I want to play this video if we have time. I had never seen it before. The gate agent from Portland who checked Muhammad Atta in and knew or suspected he was up to something and didn't yank him out of line or call the authorities or anything because he didn't want to be called racist. I don't know. This is not new, this interview, although the guy is still around. He's retired, I believe. But it is chilling. And it makes you wonder, have we learned anything? If you were a gate agent today and you saw Muhammad Atta checking in and you had your doubts, he had a one-way ticket to LA. He was difficult. He was bitching because they made him go through security twice. And this guy suspected he was up to no good and didn't do anything about it because of political correctness. What's changed? If that were today in Portland or Boston and Muhammad Atta went through, the gate agent would probably do the same thing because we have the same forces of, you know, political correctness or wokeness, as we call it now, that is in the back of people's minds. And they would be reluctant or hesitant to say, this Muhammad Atta guy, he's a bad dude. I mean, he changed our country. Yes, he did. I'm not sure for the better, but he caused billions in damages, killed 3,000 people. But at least the gate agent wasn't accused of being racist. We'll play that for you and give you the latest on Aaron Rodgers. But first.
Excuse me.
As you know, Shea Concrete has a huge selection of precast concrete steps ready to be installed at your home. This is your spring project, people. If you're building a new home or remodeling or replacing an old staircase, Shea has great values on designs that will fit your home. A new staircase can dramatically upgrade the front entrance of your home, giving you much better curb appeal. Make your front steps the talk of the town and do it now. Do it this spring. No reason not to. You know that removing the stairs is a pain. They're heavy. They're awkward. And where do you take them when you get rid of them? Shea will take care of all that for you. They leave it to them. When they're done, you'll have a great-looking new entrance that will add value to your home. It's more than an upgrade. It's an investment. With one phone call, Shea will deliver a turnkey installation experience. In a few hours, you'll get a brand-new front entrance. Learn more at SheaConcrete.com. And while you're there, you can look for a job. Shea Concrete is hiring. Right now, they have between 15 and 20 open positions. These are career opportunities for all different types of people and skill sets. All you got to do is pass a drug test. That's it. Go to SheaConcrete.com. Yeah, this Trump video is good. I mean, this is the day that Joe Biden claimed he was in New York. Actually, this is the day before. This is 9/11. And Trump hustled down to the scene and brought a bunch, like hundreds of employees with him. I think he wanted them to literally help the first responders dig through the rubble. I'm sure there was plenty of things volunteers could do, help people and, you know, get them phones and get them clothes and whatever. But he brought his guys down there and went to it. And stark contrast to the current sitting president who was in D.C. and lying about where he was that day. Let's listen to Trump.
Donald, what do you think about all this? You're a developer. You've built buildings all your life.
Well, there's never been anything like this. It's disgraceful. And I hope we attack fast. I hope we find out who it is and go fast. Okay.
Yeah. Why do you want to come down here today?
I have about 100 men working down here, so just to spur them on. Hi, folks. Hi, folks. I have over 100 men out, and I hear doing an amazing job, so I just want to give them some support. Yeah, men from my company. We have another 100 coming in a little while.
And how long have they been down here?
They've been down here for about a day and a half.
Have you talked to other developers? Are they donating their time, their men's work?
Well, I hope they are. I haven't really focused on that, but we have a lot of people coming down here and a lot of people down here now, and they're brave guys. A couple of them got hurt, but I'm just want to spur them on a little bit.
What did you think when you heard about this?
I was just down to Ground Zero. Ground Zero is a disaster. I've never seen anything like this. I hope we act very quickly. I hope we find out who did it and act accordingly. Listen, and quickly.
Do you have any...
You know, his hair is exactly the same now as it was then. It's a little bigger now and a little slower, I suppose, but the hair is exactly the same, and so is the voice. But he was there. Joe Biden was not. Not that we expected a U.S. senator from D.C. to be in New York the next day, but you don't have to lie about it. Joe, you don't impress anybody with that. You don't impress. He's just a child. He really is a child. But we have time, don't we, to do this gate agent?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, this it was just one of those things. A lot of things you'd see on, you know, anniversary of 9/11 and you go, wow, I never seen that before. This is from years ago, like 2005, I believe, or now. You see what year this was, Ironhead. It says, this is from NBC. The alleged mastermind of 9/11 terrorist attacks was angered when he learned he had to undergo security screening between flights on the morning of the suicide attacks. Michael Toohey of Scarborough, Maine, said he was suspicious of Atta when he rushed through the Portland jetway to make his flight to Boston. Atta's demeanor and the pair's first-class one-way tickets to Los Angeles made Toohey think twice about Atta and his cohort, Abdulaziz Alamari. The two checked in Portland, went to Boston, met up with the other terrorists, got on the flight to Boston, to L.A., and then crashed it into the World Trade Center. But listen to this guy talk about checking Mohammed Atta in and ask yourself this. Would anything be different today if Mohammed Atta was at Logan or in Portland today, this morning? Would anything be different? Go ahead.
Okay, fine. I look at him and I'm saying, okay. He looks like a bottle of poison, you know, the face he's got on. And that's when I made a mental comment to myself. And I said, if this guy don't look like an Arab terrorist, nobody does. And that thought actually went through my mind. And then I gave myself a politically correct slap for even thinking that. And just, he's just the guy. He's going to L.A. on business. You know, I don't know. So I tagged the bags, sent them on the way, checked the ID.
See, that's crazy because I didn't know that existed back then.
Well, you had to check in. They didn't make you take your shoes off.
No. The political correctness. I thought that was all post 9/11.
There was a story about how you're limited to the number of people of color or men of color that you could pull out of the lines. There was rules like that then, and there's rules like that now. We learn nothing. So if Muhammad Atta were going through Logan today, they would let him through. And guys said, man, he looks scary. He's whatever. He's got a one-way ticket. He's belligerent. They would be reluctant to pull him out and interrogate him or question him because of that. And you know what Muhammad Atta would do if they pulled him out? He'd accuse them of being racist, because that's what we do in this country. That's what we do. And hell, people think it's racist to close the border and stop people who are on the terrorist watch list from walking into our country. It's amazing. 22 years later, we still have this problem of whatever, political correctness, this fear of being labeled racist, this idea that everybody has a right to come to our country, anyone to walk in, and we're giving $6 billion to the biggest sponsor of state sponsor of terrorism in the world. We've learned nothing. It is scary, but that's the way it is in Joe Biden's America. It is amazing we haven't been hit. I don't mean like to that extent of 9/11, but if we got all these people coming over the border on terrorist watch lists, isn't one of them bound to blow up a bus? I mean, isn't going to happen again if we don't change, if we don't prioritize our people, our country, over this notion of whatever, inclusivity. Yeah, that's so important. Anyway, that'll do it for today. Any update on Rogers? I've been keep looking. I want to see if he's got his MRI. So it was over this morning.
I was just looking. I don't see anything.
I don't think there's any mystery involved. I do think all the sports, TV, radio will be consumed with this all day. But I don't think there's any mystery. They are screwed because Aaron Rodgers is out and Zach Wilson is in. And if you watch Zach Wilson, you can see physically he's got gifts, man. He is a talented guy. He's got a good arm. He's, he can move. Mentally, it's not there. He just doesn't have it. And he's replacing a guy who is one of the great, thinkers who's ever played the position, who could outsmart guys and read coverages and look guys off. I mean, it'll help that he gets a full week of practice, but they have a grueling schedule, the Jets do, in the first month. It's going to be impossible, which is too bad. Last year, he went 7-10. Five of the wins were against teams with backup quarterbacks. So last year was rough. This year, obviously, they got some good new players. They got Dalvin Cook. They got Breece Hall back. But they're screwed, and Jets fans are just going to have to, come to grips with it and look forward to next year.
Who do you think they should get?
I guess you'd take a chance with, you'd beg Matt Ryan, but he's not going to come back.
I'd probably take a chance with Carson Wentz. We've seen
Carson
him.
Carson Wentz is the best name on the list. I think Joe Flacco's probably done. I don't know, but bring back Mike White. Isn't that who Montante wants? Bring back Mike White. He proved to be better than Zach Wilson. I mean, Zach Wilson's making a lot more money and, he's got a big contract, but they're in a tough place because they can't, give up on the season and go for a top pick because they had too much talent. They got too much money. They got too many good players. They got to go for it, but they got a big problem at quarterback, and they got a tough division and a tough schedule and a tough city, and it is too bad. But and we don't get to see Aaron Rodgers play. That's a bummer. Maybe Jamel Hill is onto something. Maybe it'll be Cap. That would be so great. That would be one of the greatest moves. I would just love that. I would watch every Jets game and root for him to fail miserably, and he would. But
who the
Jets got this week? I'm looking at their schedule. They got the Patriots, obviously, the Cowboys. They got the Dolphins. They got the Chiefs. They got tough games ahead. They could be, could be their last win for a while.
Yeah, they got the Cowboys at 4:30 on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll catch the Cowboys sleeping on them. But we'll be watching. Anyway, that will do it for today. Did we get through this? You got some work to do there, Ironhead?
I got everything marked up already. Take 2 seconds.
Are you coming to help set up? Are you coming to set up my studio again today? If you, Ironhead actually did something yesterday after the show, which he's never done that before. He actually did some work after the show was over and came to set up my studio, which we didn't happen, of course. But
yeah, the guy ended up calling me at 4:15.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we ended up having, you know, a good day, hanging out, doing nothing together. We went for coffee.
Yep.
Although you didn't get a coffee. You're the guy that loves coffee more than anyone. You didn't get one.
I already had like three of these, and I'd probably have a, you know, Callahan Coffee, callahancoffee.com. Well,
that's better. You know, went to some, went to a little coffee shop in my neighborhood, but where I'm apparently very famous, as you saw. I got to, people were like coming up to me. And
left and right.
People saying, "How much they missed the radio." I'm like, "Do you listen to the podcast?" And they're like, "What's that? What's a podcast?" I'm like, "Actually, no. They were good. These guys knew how to listen to podcasts, and they knew what I was doing, and I got a free coffee out of it, which was good.
That's right.
And I offered you a pastry, and you said no. I guess you saw
the diet discipline firsthand.
I did. You know, this is a place with great pastries and cannolis, and you said no. Too many carbs.
Too many carbs.
And you didn't. You didn't eat anything, you didn't drink anything, and you didn't get anything done. So it was a good day.
I got part of it done. I'm gonna fix it at some point, but I don't know about today.
All right. Well, let me know. Get to work, fix this thing up, and get this out. But thanks to everyone for listening and comment. I never get to all these comments. People, they're commiserating. That was a wild thing last night, watching that game built up and just the whole thing just ends after three plays. It was one of those days. I'm glad I'm a fan.
That's Rich's thoughts on Zach Wilson.
His mom's hot. That's true. His mom is hot, yeah. Very hot. And, you know, he's not boring. I'll put it that way. He stinks, but he's not boring bad. Joe Flacco is boring. Zach Wilson's not boring. Every time you see him play, you say his potential. He's got the gifts.
Well, Joe Flacco throws the ball 50 yards every time he drops back, so it's kind of exciting. Right.
Yeah, but he's a stiff. This guy can run. He can flick it quick. I mean, he's got all the gifts, but the NFL, you need more than the physical gifts. You need the brain, and I don't think he has. But speaking of not having the brain, thanks, Ironhead. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show, and we will do it again tomorrow.
God save the queen, man.
Shaking my head and thinking something ain't right. Is it just me? Am I losing my mind? Am I standing on the edge of the end of time? Am I the only one? Tell me I'm not.
Who thinks it takes- Like the show? Leave a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify.
Hi, it's Tony Marino, host of the Newsmax Daily Podcast, your daily news bulletin of Newsmax's top headlines, along with commentary from our hosts and experts. You can learn more about all of the free podcasts, including Newsmax Daily, Rob Carson, and Jerry Callahan at newsmax.com/listen.